Well, good morning, everybody. That music makes me feel bold and not or fearless. So we want to welcome you here today. Whether you're here in person or you're watching online, it's such a privilege to have you with us today. We are going into the summer, and we are really looking forward to what God has for us as a church this summer and also this fall. We've got a really cool Bible study. We're going to be doing kind of a marriage study and also a book of the Bible study in the month of July for everybody, for couples. And so it's going to be great. So we'll be looking out for that. And we just got some really cool things that God is doing with camps and all those types of things. But the other thing I want to tell you about, we're really excited. A few months ago, we shared with you that we were looking for a new piece of property to purchase, to build a building on, because our property that we currently have didn't have utilities. And so we've gotten some news in the past few weeks that there's a good possibility that we can build on our current property, which means that will help speed up the process. We don't have to purchase new property. So you guys can be praying along with that, and we're supposed to be getting some more information about that in the next probably a few weeks, in the next month or two. So we'll keep you filled in, but we're pumped about that, excited about that, and the possibility of starting to build a building in the next couple years. And so that's going to be, it's going to be awesome. But we want to welcome you here. I've met several people that are guests this morning for the first time here, and it's a privilege and honor to have you with us today as we continue with our series, Fearless, which is a study out of the book of Acts. So we've been kind of going verse by verse, expository style in the book of Acts this year, and we take a break and we go to another book of the, or do another study, and then we come back to it and kind of go back and forth with that. And so it's been a great study. So I'd love for you to turn to Acts chapter 5 today. Acts chapter 5, whether it's in your Bible, your app, or we have an actual Stonehill app that you can follow along with as well. You can download that. We also have the notes there also too. So thanks for being here today. My daughter, Ruby, I don't think she's in here right now. She's in the middle school, but she is 14 years old. She's going to be a freshman this next year. It's crazy. But when Ruby was 4 years old, she was in that phase where she was really excited about learning how to ride a bike. And so up to this point, we had had her on like little tricycles. We had her on things, but we never got her on a bike and never got it with the, you know, the training wheels on it. But she'd seen her brothers and sisters riding a bike, and so she just got really pumped and motivated to learn how to ride a bike. And so as a dad, you know, that's kind of what my rite of passage, to be able to teach my kids how to ride their bikes. And that's something I had been able to experience with the other three kids before her. And so I was really looking forward to teaching Ruby how to ride a bike. So we go to her grandparents one week, and we get there, and little did I know, she was excited because there was a cousin's bike there that was like the perfect size for her. And so we get there, and normally with my other kids, they were kind of freaked out about riding their bike. So we had to put a helmet on their head. We had to do like the elbow pads, the knee pads, and basically push them off a cliff because they were so scared to learn how to ride a bike. I don't know if any of you parents experienced that before, but not Ruby. So we get to her grandparents' house, and we're unloading all the stuff from the car, and I look out there in the gravel, and Ruby's got this little bike riding it around. No training wheels. No one's ever taught her before. She's just doing it. And so I look out there, and part of me is like, yeah, way to go, Ruby. And the other part of me was super sad because I didn't get to teach her how to ride a bike. And so I walk out there to Ruby, and I walk up to her, and as she's riding the bike, she like looks at me with this like this serious kind of happy grin on her face. Like, I'm doing this and I didn't need you. And I mean, I broke down and cried for hours and hours that time. But it was so crazy because she was so motivated. She knew that that's what she wanted to do, what she was supposed to do. And so what did she do? She stepped out and she did it. She didn't at that moment need my approval. She knew she was supposed to do it. So she stepped out and she learned to ride a bike on her own. Here's how this applies for us today. I believe that God has some things for you in your own life. He wants you to step out. He wants you to do them. He wants you to be bold, have a fearlessness to yourself, and do what he's called you to do. So today in the story, we're going to see how these men, the apostles, Peter, John, and some of the other apostles, how they stepped out in faith. And we're going to learn some principles on how to do that as well, as God is calling us all to be fearless. So Acts chapter 5, verse 17, and actually have quite a bit of scripture to read today. So if you have your Bibles, it'd be great if you could follow along with us. If not, the words, the verses will be on the screen as well. So verse 17, Acts chapter 5. So the high priest and all the associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. Now let me stop, kind of tell you what's going on. So last week we talked about Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira came and they basically lied. They said they're giving more money to God than they really gave. And so God gave them some consequences. It didn't go very well. Then after that happened, it tells us that the apostles went out and began healing people. They began helping people. They began being a light to the community. And this is what happened. And then all of a sudden, verse 17, it says that the leaders are upset. The leaders are jealous of the apostles. I mean, can you believe that? The audacity of the apostles going around and healing people, those jerks. And so what we see here is these religious leaders, they're frustrated and they're jealous. What I picture, what I imagine is this. The church leaders realize that the people in their religious group are diminishing. And the people in the apostles group, they're having services and they're growing. And then I imagine that the religious leaders see some of their people, their old people at Costco or something, and they're walking down the aisle and they're like, hey, how are you doing? And the old member's like, oh, this is super awkward, you know? And they're wanting to jump behind the dog food aisle because they see the old religious leaders and they're like, what are you up to? And the religious leaders are like, why haven't you been coming to church? And they're like, well, it's kind of crazy. Peter healed my grandma, her leg grew back. And so we've been visiting their church. And they become jealous, and they're frustrated. So what happens? Verse 18. So they arrested the apostles, and they put them in public jail. Now, again, these aren't just the religious leaders. They are the civil leaders. They are the ones that rule what's going on there. So they have the power to put them in jail. But during the night, while the apostles were in jail, then an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. So this miracle takes place. An angel comes down, lets them out, and this is what the angel says. He says, go, stand in the temple courts and tell all the people about this new life. I mean, picture this. The apostles are like, wait a minute. You're telling us to go back to the temple. That's where we were and we got arrested. And now you're asking us to do that again. If it was me, I'd been like, hey, I tried that once. We'll see you later. I'm gone, but not Peter and the apostles. You see, what happens is God is setting them free here and they're fearless. See, God doesn't set us free because of our own preferences. God sets us free for his purposes. You see, so many of you've been set free. You've received Christ in your heart and your life. He's made you a new creation, the Bible tells us. And he's freed you from the bondage of certain sins. Like you used to have a problem with certain addiction, or you had a problem with bitterness, or problem with anger, or maybe you were a gossip, and God has come into your life, and he has set you free, but he has not set you free from these things for you to live comfortably. He set you free from those things that you would follow him and follow after his command and his purpose for your life. And so that's what's happening here. They're going on, and they're being faithful. So verse 21. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. So they were obedient. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and they sent to the jail the apostles. So they didn't know the apostles were gone. They're going to get them. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and they reported. They said, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. So on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. They were worried because these people escaped. They didn't know if there was going to be a revolt. They didn't know if they were going to get in trouble because these people escaped under their protection and their guard. So all of a sudden, someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. So this is what's happening. The apostles are obedient. They go back. They've been freed from jail from the angel. And they go back to the place they shouldn't be. And they start preaching again. Now, let me give you a little background here. You have the religious leaders. you have the Sanhedrin. And there was a different kinds of different groups of the religious leaders. And one of the groups were called the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were interesting because they did not believe in a couple things. They did not believe, first of all, that a person could rise from the dead. So they were really struggling with this guy named Jesus. They also did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe in demons, and they did not believe in angels. You see, the Sadducees were sad, you see? Come on, help a brother out here. Come on. That is like one of those old pastor jokes that you just tell. And now you'll remember who the Sadducees are. So the next time somebody comes up to you, you'll be like, hey, let me tell you about the Sadducees. And you'll go on. It's going to be awesome. But they're struggling, right? So they get out of jail, the apostles. And I can imagine the Sadducees going up to the apostles and say, how did you get out of jail? And they're like, well, the angel led us out of jail. And they're like, well, we don't believe in angels. And the apostles are like, we don't care what you believe. That's what happened. And so they're struggling. They're frustrated. These religious people do not have control. And these apostles are bold. So as I continue the story, I want to pull out a few principles today that I think will help us all. Help us all to really live a life pleasing to the Lord if we want to step out in faith. You see, it's so much more than just like reading the Bible today and knowing trivia or facts about the Sadducees. It's really about learning what the Bible says, applying it to our life, and then living it out, allowing God to change us, to mature us. The Bible calls it sanctification. And so the first truth today is this. If you want to step out, you have to understand it's so much better to obey God rather than man. It is so much better to obey God rather than man. Let me ask you this question. Are you living for the approval of people, or are you living for the approval of God? So look what happens, verse 27. The apostles were brought in, and they were made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. The high priest said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Now, what is interesting here is they can't even say the name of Jesus. They don't want to say the name of Jesus. They're not saying the name of Jesus. Have you guys ever seen a TV show like the Oscars, or you get done with some kind of sports game and they're like, yeah, we just want to give some props up to the guy upstairs, you know? And some people can be like, oh man, they're so spiritual. They thank God. But what is interesting is many people don't ever mention the name of Jesus. And that's the real dividing line. So they're here. They're like, his name. They can't even say his name. And so they go on and they say, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty by this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied. So they reply, and this is important. We must obey God rather than human beings. I want you to let that kind of sink in. We must obey God rather than human beings. Underline that. See, people are so often people-pleasing machines. And I think all of us can look back and think about some time in our life where we made a decision or multiple decisions, not because God wanted us to do it, but because others wanted us to do it. We can think back to decisions we made and the influence we had from our friends or from our coworkers or from even our parents or even our spouses. And Peter is standing in front of these men who could kill him. And he's bold, and he's saying, I am going to obey God rather than men. I mean, how often do we, myself included, do we do things to please other people? I mean, I think about even the way I dress sometimes and how I've worn certain things over time. How many of you can remember back to your days as a teenager, maybe even now, and you like, why did I do that? Why was I wearing that? Like, for instance, how many of you guys remember the time, and maybe it's cool now again, but when you used to tight roll your jeans? Anybody remember that? I got a picture of that right there. I mean, how many of you did it? Let's just be real here, okay? So you guys are all the cool people here. We'll bring it back. We're bringing back the tight roll. And so we do things like that, right? Like, what were we thinking? Maybe it's cool again. I don't know. Or how many of you think about your hairdos back in the day? I think about when I was a freshman in college, it was kind of cool to grow your hair out. I have a picture of it here, right here on the right. And, you know, you grow it out, but then you part it right down the middle. Yeah? So I'm talking, my wife, I shouldn't say this in church, my wife calls that the butt cut. And so, you know, I had that rolling. If you're a kid in here, do not use that word. That's so bad, you know. But we do that. And then, you know, I got tired of that look for a while. And so like a few months after that, I went for the next look. Can you show this one here? I went for the short hair look, you know. I had a lot of tall friends as well back then. But we do that, right? We do things, and sometimes we do it just because we want to do it, and that's great. But how often do we do things because we want to get the other people to like us, to get approval from other people? How often as adults do we do things for the applause of man? Some of you are in a career, not because God called you to be in that career. You are in that career because someone told you to go in that direction. For some of you, you try to keep up with the Joneses. And so you have the nice car, you have the nice house, you have to have everything look good on social media, you gotta have the nice vacations, you gotta do everything. And in itself, those things are not bad. But when you have those things, and the reason you have those things is for other people to like you, there is a problem there. And we struggle with the approval. How many of us Christians would we get embarrassed if some of our coworkers or some of the people that we live around or some of our friends knew that we would call ourselves Christians? Or they knew that we would go to church? Or they knew that we would worship God? And we'd be afraid to tell them because we'd be worried about what they think about us, because the connotations that brings, or what they might think about, or holy rollers or spiritual people. I mean, whatever it is, right? How many of us are fearful of that? And we do things for the applause of man and not for God. And here Peter is not afraid of stepping up. He's not afraid of stepping out for God. And the reason why he's not afraid is because he knows who he is, and he knows whose he is, that he's been bought with a price, that he's not his own anymore. And so he's not fearful of other people, but he loves God. So what happens here? They go on, and they're in trouble, but this is what they do. This is what Peter does. He says, "The God of our ancestors, they raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on the cross." And so he's in trouble here, and he's going right back at him again, saying, "Look, you're the ones who killed Jesus. You're the ones who did this." But then he goes on, he says, "But God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and a savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins." And this is crazy. Peter is on trial for preaching Jesus. So what does he do? He's defending himself of preaching Jesus by preaching Jesus again. And he's not afraid. He's not fearful. And he says, "We must obey God rather than obey human beings." Why? Why is it better? Why is it better to obey God? The reason why it's so much better is we know this. The Bible tells us this. I've experienced this. We know this because ultimate joy and ultimate satisfaction comes from serving God. We also know this. One of the reasons why it's better to obey God than it is man is this. This is the second thought. God's plan will never be stopped. God's plan will never be stopped. I think some of you need to hear that today. Have you ever stepped out in faith and you did what God has asked you to do? And you're like, "God, is this going to work out? Like, this isn't going the way that I thought it was going to go. This isn't being the way that I thought it was going to be. God, where are you at? Like, what's happening here?" So look what happens in verse 33. So the religious leaders, they were furious and they wanted to put them to death. They wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, they stood up in the Sanhedrin and they ordered that the man be put outside for a little while. Basically, like, "You guys will go outside for a minute. We're going to talk about you." Okay? Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, and this is what he says. "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men." Now, let me tell you this. Gamaliel, he's a wiser man. I will say that our church and every organization needs older, wiser people, men and women, that will help lead, advise, and instruct. And I want you to hear this today. If you consider yourself older, whatever that is, let me tell you this. We need you. We need your experience. We need your maturation. We need your wisdom. We need you to pour into us. We need you to pour into our kids. We need your wisdom. And so Gamaliel, he's a wise older man. He's the guy in Acts chapter 22 that we find out that was the guy that helped Paul, the apostle Paul, learn the Hebrew scriptures. And so he's a very wise man. And this is what he says. He says, some time ago, Thutis, by the way, if you ever want to name your boy, have a cool new name, there you go, Thutis. Some time ago, Thutis appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. So he did something, like he rallied some people, and then guess what happened? He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. Okay, that's his first example. Here's the second example. He said, after him, Judas, all right, so you got Thutis and Judas, two great names here. Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. They were called the Zealots. He too was killed, and all of his followers were scattered. Gamaliel's saying, these men tried. They tried to do what they thought they should do, but it wasn't of God. And so because of that, it failed. Then he goes on. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if the purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. It's great advice. Great advice from a wise man. Either this is going to work because it's from God, or it's not going to work because it's not. So let me throw it back to us for a second. Let me throw it back to you for a second. How do you need to heed Gamaliel's advice? What does that look like for you? See, for all of you, I don't care who you are, God has put a dream, a plan, a purpose, something within, deep down in your soul that he wants you to do. He's put it there. And the only reason you haven't done it yet is because you're fearful or you're insecure or you have 15 different excuses of why you can't do it or you shouldn't do it or why it will fail. You know that God has called you to start a business that will help shine the light of Jesus in this community. But there's something in you that just, you can't step over that line of faith. College student, you're in a major right now and you know that God has you to do something else in a different major, but you're not willing to step out in faith. For some of you, you're older, and God is saying, look, I want you to go back to school, but you're like, I'm too old to do that. But God says, I don't care how old you are. You need to step out in faith. Some of you moms are supposed to quit your job, stay home with your babies because they need you right now. Some of you moms need to go back to work right now because your babies are driving you crazy. I don't know how that looks for you. For some of you, God is calling you to step out and start a Bible study, maybe at your job during lunch or at your home at nighttime. Maybe for some of you, God is calling you to be a community group leader during the fall, or maybe God is calling you to serve at church, at Stonehill Church, or outside of the church walls. I don't know how that looks for you. Only you know and God knows. There's a couple times in my life where I can point back to this story, like specifically, where I wasn't sure what to do and somebody gave me some advice. It was when we started Rock Harbor Church, and I don't know if you know this, but we're a plant out of a church called Rock Harbor Church in North Meridian. And the second time was when we started this church, Stonehill Church. And both times we were prayed up, we sought wise counsel, we did all the work. We didn't come to a conclusion lazily about starting these churches, but even though we had done all of that, there was still that question in my heart and in our hearts as we started this, like, will this work? What if we start this and nobody shows up? What if we do this and it fails and it flops? What will we do then? And I remember both times, both instances, where people came up to us and said, hey, look at Acts chapter 5. Gamaliel says this, if it's not of God, it's not going to work, but if it is, nothing can stop it. And if God is opening the doors to do this, you need to go through it and obey his commands. You see, God, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but he gives us a spirit of power and of love and of discipline. So what happens here? I'm hoping today that some of you are on the edge of where God wants you. He wants you to take a step of faith, a leap of faith, to do what he's put down deep inside of you. And you need to understand that it's way better to obey God than man. And if God has it, then no one can stop it. Here's the final thing we learned today, is that we don't measure the love of God by our feelings, but we measure it by his faithfulness. Let me say it a different way. We don't measure the love of God or the success of God by our feelings or even our fruitfulness, but by God's faithfulness. So look what happens. Gamaliel gets done. In verse 40, we see this. His speech persuaded them. His speech persuaded these religious leaders. And then from there, everyone lived happily ever after. That's the prosperity gospel version part of it. The problem with that is the Bible. So here's what the Bible says. It said his speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in, and they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So Gamaliel gets up, and he does this rousing speech. He's like, guys, don't mess with them. Leave them alone. And then they beat them. This wasn't just like a little bit of spankings, too. This was like legitimate beating. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, they beat them 39 times with the whip because they couldn't do 40. According to the Old Testament law, the 40 was like where they would kill someone. And so they brought them right to the brink of death. You see, some of you, you've stepped out in faith. You've actually done what we're talking about here today. But it isn't working out the way you thought it was going to work out. And you're saying, God, where in the world are you at? God, I did what you asked me to do. God, I watched that show 700 Club, and I see everybody getting some health and everybody getting some wealth, but where are you at, God? But here's the thing. We don't measure the love of God by our feelings or our fruitfulness, but his faithfulness. God's faithfulness, and God is faithful. So keep walking in his faithfulness. Even when you don't know how it's going to all turn out, God is a good God, and he'll continue to be faithful. And if it's of God, it will always turn out right. It will always turn out the way he wants it to turn out. So this passage has really been hitting me hard this week, all of us. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people where it's been a struggle. And for the most part, people have had issues, and it's been difficult at times. And now some of you, you've liked it because you get to work at home. We don't have to talk to anybody, and that's awesome. But for many people, it's been difficult. And so as I've talked to other pastors here in the Valley, and I've talked to pastors here in this community and all around the nation, it's been really hard as far as church. Part of the reason is because when you are a pastor, you're supposed to be shepherding people. You're supposed to be helping them and discipling them and helping them take their next steps in their faith with God. But when people aren't there and you aren't connecting to people, it's been really hard. It's been difficult. And if I'm just going to be transparent and authentic for a second with you, a year ago and even 6 to 9 months ago when everything was shutting down and then people are like, on one end saying, like, why are we shutting down church? Like, we need to be fearless. And then the school doesn't even let us meet, right? And that's difficult. Or we should wear a mask. And then you have the other extreme, like people saying, you shouldn't be meeting and you should be wearing masks. And then it's like, oh my gosh, and I feel like a politician. And then it's just been a hard year. And it's been difficult because I love people and I want to minister and I want to help disciple people. And then if you've been around Stonehill for a year or two, we've had a couple staff members that have transitioned out, and a couple of them specifically really had personal issues and struggles. And so they weren't able to continue to be in vocational ministry. And so those people were my friends. And it's been hurting me because they're hurting. Now, here's the good news. They're doing really good. Walking with them still. And a couple of them are still part of Stonehill, and they're still coming. And we're walking through all the hurt with them that they've struggled with in their own personal lives. And God is good. And that's what we're about. We're about loving people and not throwing them to the curb. And so that's amazing. It's cool to see what God is doing. But it's been hard. Now, the blessing is God has brought some new amazing staff on, and you've met them. If you haven't met some of the new amazing staff, I want to encourage you to meet them, get connected to them, get to know them, pull them aside in the hallway, talk to them, take them to lunch, take them to coffee. They would love to do that. But as I was wrestling through this passage, it's been hard, and my feelings have been all over the place. But the past few months, God has been restoring my confidence and my passion and what he called us to do almost 5 years ago when we started Stonehill Church. And I have full confidence that God is directing our church to greater days. And that's not always based on feelings, but that is based on God's faithfulness. And so I know that as a church that God is going to continue to do amazing and wonderful things through and in us as a church. But I also know that God has something for you. And even if you're struggling right now and you're like, God, where are you at? Where have you been? I don't feel like you're there. I don't feel like you're blessing. Know that God is faithful. Know that he is faithful. And that no matter what happens, he's going to be there. And we don't measure the love of God by how we feel or the numbers or the fruit, but we measure the love of God by his faithfulness. And so, look what happens in verse 41. This is really interesting. They were beat. The apostles were beat. They were flogged. Verse 41 says this, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Like, how in the world? They left rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They were rejoicing because of their suffering, because of the purpose that God had on their life. And so, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They rejoice because of their suffering for Jesus. How can they do that? It's not because everything worked out perfectly. It's not because their circumstances were amazing. It's not because that they were living their best life now. It wasn't because their life was better, although I would say it was better. It was because Jesus was better. That Jesus is the prize. And they realized what they were living their life for, not for themselves, not for this world, but for a kingdom that was going to come at some point. Some of you, you're walking in obedience. Like, you're doing what God has called you to do, but it's not working out the way that you thought it was going to be. You thought your sickness was going to be better. You thought you were going to be healed at this point, but yet you're still struggling physically. You thought that God would give you that promotion at work. You thought that your relationship with your kids would be better. You thought that once you gave your life to Christ and you did what he asked you to do, that life would be full of rainbows and ponies and Skittles. It would be amazing. But I want to encourage you to keep going. To keep stepping in and stepping out into the faithfulness of God. Where are you at right now with this passage, in this scripture? Are you stuck? It might be because you're living for the applause of man and not the applause of God. You're living to please someone else, and it's not God. And you know that God has something for you, but you're not leaning into that. Maybe for some of you, you're on the edge of taking the advice of Gamaliel. Like, you know that thing that God wants you to do, and it's just right there, and you need just to step out. And maybe first, before you step out in faith, you've got to realize who you are in Christ and whose you are. That he's got you. He's got you exactly where he wants you. Lean into it. Lean into the cross and go for it. See, God has a purpose. He has a plan for you. And even when it's hard, and even when some people will look at you and say, why are you doing that? That's foolish. You know it's right. Step out. Step out. Why? So we too can be counted for our suffering in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. God, thank you. And we love you. And I just pray that this passage would resonate. I know for each one of us here today, there is something in our life that you are calling us to do. It could be something small or a bunch of small things. It could be just the fact that you're calling us to be faithful, to have time with you, to be in the Word, to pray, to allow your Spirit to move in our hearts by investing in a relationship with you, Lord, daily. Maybe there's some of us here today that you are saying to them, like, they need to step out and there's something big. And they're just fearful. But you know, they know it's from you. And I pray they would lean into that. Lord, have faith that God, if it's your plan and your will, then no one can stop it. Maybe there's someone here today that has never received you as their Lord and Savior. Maybe someone watching online right now. They've never made a commitment to you. They've looked at God, they've looked at religion as just like do's and don'ts. They've looked at going to church or giving money or doing certain things as that's the way to be right with God. But Lord, we know the Bible tells us the only way to God and to you is through a relationship with Jesus, accepting what he's already done for us. Lord, we can't be good enough. We can never do enough. But it's by your grace of loving us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us to take our place. So maybe someone is here today and they need to do that. They need to just pray this morning and just receive Jesus into their life, admitting they're a sinner, but receiving him and understanding that the only way to you is through him. I pray that if someone needs to do that today, they would do that right now, even as they're seated in their seats or they're watching wherever they're watching. God, we love you. Help us to take this now and do something with it, to step out, be bold, be fearless. In Jesus' name.